This is WGRE 91.5 FM, Greencastle, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome to Music for Life, music from DePauw. This week, we preview our upcoming orchestra concert. We send a graduating senior off to a desert island with a defective iPod. We chat with students about the grad school audition experience, and we introduce two new segments, the Producer's Vault and the Student Corner. We'll also chat with Janice Bagwell about the preparations for the second annual holiday gala, which is right around the corner. There are lots of exciting things happening in the School of Music this week, and we're glad you could join us for Music for Life. On Monday night, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. in Kresge Auditorium, will be our next performance of the University Orchestra. Here to chat with us about it is a violist in the orchestra, Tom Chen. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
And our conductor, Orstina Smith.
Hello.
What's on the docket for this one?
Well, we have music of Die Fledermaus by Johann Strauss, Jr.
Which will be our opera. And that's the greatest overture of all. I love that overture.
Yes. Glistening and glittering with all those Viennese traditions and tunes. Then the Lyric Movement by Gustav Holst, featuring our viola professor, Dr. Nicole Brockman.
Well, she played beautifully the other day in the recital hour.
Oh, wow. I thought that Rebecca Clark sonata was never better played.
And isn't Rebecca Clark is so fantastic. That's twice we've heard her in this same semester in different venues, but terrific.
And then the final work is the Dance Suite, Tanz Suite of Béla Bartók, which is a kind of dark and brooding yet festive piece.
Challenging piece too, wouldn't you say, Tom?
Yep, a lot of counting.
So how's it going for you and the orchestra and the strings? How are you guys feeling?
Well, we're trying to get there. We don't have as much rehearsal time for this one.
Yeah, what was the rehearsal? I mean, because you guys just did a concert. So how many weeks was this one?
October 28th was the last
October concert. 28th to November the 9th. So 3 weeks, practically, 3.5 weeks. And one of those weeks, were we gone?
No.
No, it's been since the break. Right. Okay. So you've had 3 whole weeks. Come on. So how's it going with that time pressure?
We're getting there. It's sort of one of those special moments in your time in an academic institution where you, turn on the pressure cooker and really try to put all these musical ideas together, especially with the Bartók, that so much counting, it's not as intuitive as most music. So that takes a lot of concentration on our part, a lot of looking at our parts.
Right, and trying to get the ensemble to gel in that shorter period of time. You know, so it seems that the orchestra has a different rhythm in preparation for each of its concerts. Some you have a little more time, some you have hardly any time at all. You'll go from this one on November the 19th, then we'll take a few days off for Thanksgiving, and you come right back around and play even 10 days later for the holiday gala.
We're already rehearsing for that. I think the general sense pedagogically how this particular organization works through the course of the year is that we start off with a longer time frame to rehearse things, and the concert's a little bit longer, although the music's very much more straightforward. And then the job is to kind of amp up the level of difficulty or look around the edges. So different kind of rhythmic structure. This concert is shorter. It's only 36 minutes worth of music instead of 50 or 60. So the rehearsal time is used a little bit differently. There's an expectation that the students will continue to prosper in their own personal practice and that they'll see the shorter time frame and see if they can raise the quality of everything that they do through the course of the pedagogy for this whole semester. And then next semester gets even more complicated because we serve so many other organizations, including the opera, the New Music Festival, the chorus, the concerto competition. And so I think it is stressful, and it is requiring the student to step up.
And it solidifies the concept that time is money, that time is precious. I remember getting ready to step on stage to conduct an orchestra, and the accountant or whatever he was said, 791 or something. I said, what's that? And he goes, that's how much it cost us a minute of rehearsal. Oh my gosh, you know, every minute's got to be good if it's going to cost this much money. And when you guys have this pressure of, well, we just did this concert, and what do you know, there's another one right behind it. There's really not a lot of time in rehearsal to chase stuff down. Everyone's really got to come in prepared. So do you guys feel that different pressure as the year goes on and the rehearsal spans get shorter?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you got a little practice early on when you had a little easier pace for that first concert, but from then on, it's just foot to the floor the entire time.
Yeah.
And now a subset of this group is about to run off to London.
Right. We're very excited about the new tour opportunity that has been presented. Of course, it puts us back in the tour mode, which we did almost every other year since 1975. So it's great to be able to get back to touring. And we have 37 students in this DePauw Chamber Symphony that will be flying off in our winter term to perform four concerts in England. So mm-hmm. we're very excited about that.
Yeah, great opportunity. Those are always fun because you get to see this foreign country and get involved in a different culture. But also, once again, the performance pressure is there. And I think one of the great advantages is that you'll actually get to play the material more than once. So have you guys talked about this trip as students yet? Have you guys talked about
it? Oh, as students? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. And so what are you looking forward to in London?
Everything,
yeah, I guess. They have great pubs.
No. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Have you been to England before?
No, I've actually never been to Europe. I've been out of the country. I've been to China a lot, right. actually, but never anywhere in Europe. Oh, so I'm really
great.
Excited.
Great. And is that true for a lot of your compatriots that this is their first time into England? Or
I think so.
Yeah. We try to always set these things up so that you have a little bit of time to sightsee, and but then at the same time, you still have the performance pressure going on. And, of course, that keeps you hopping.
Well, I mean, the idea, once again, of this is part of the pedagogy that we've struggled so many years to maintain, is that this is a new level of artistic accomplishment that can come to these particular core musicians, which then, because of having to play the same performance over and over again under difficult performance circumstances, since you're jet-lagged and you're not eating mm-hmm. the same food that you're used to, it's really a mental focus that helps to adapt you to these new circumstances. So when the students then come back and we start doing the opera and we start doing all these other things, there's this core of players that affect all the other players as far as their intensity, mm-hmm. and it's a cycle that's really important for us to see throughout their years.
I always ask this question about every concert coming up, but is there a great moment in this performance Monday night that you're looking forward to, Tom?
There's some really good moments in the Bartok that I just absolutely love. And then, but, you know, the Fledermaus Overture is so exciting and energetic.
I love that work.
Yeah.
Well, it's an exciting night of music in store. It's Monday night, November 19th at 7:30 p.m. in Kresge Auditorium. We hope to see you there, and thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
Our show is ever evolving as we add new segments and features and find better ways to bring this material to you. This week, we're actually codifying an idea that we've introduced in the past, and that is the producer's vault. As we all know, Matt Champagne is our producer, and he has access to our live recordings. We'd like to bring you some of those recordings, and what you'll hear is something like this.
This is Matt Champagne from the Producer's Vault.
You'll hear something like that preceding any work that we've done here in the School of Music that we want to share with you. So listen carefully throughout the weeks to come as Matt pulls some fascinating recordings out of the Producer's Vault.
Let's take a peek into the Producer's Vault. At this past Wednesday's recital hour, senior piano performance major Lizzie Wen gave us a taste of Robert Schumann's G minor second piano sonata. From Schumann's Opus 22, here's the first movement, So rasch wie möglich. Thank you. That was Senior Piano Performance Major Lizzie Wen playing the first movement of Schumann's Second Piano Sonata at recital hour this past Wednesday, November 14th, 2012, in Thompson Recital Hall.
Joining me for the Question You Never Asked segment of this week's show is actually a major from the College of Liberal Arts. This is a physics major that performs in our band. Welcome, Thomas Miller.
Hi, thank you.
Good to have College of Liberal Arts students on our show, and it's also exciting to have College of Liberal Arts students in our ensembles. And you're a tuba player in our university band, correct?
I am.
How many years have you done that?
I've been playing tuba since the sixth grade now.
Wow. And how many years at DePauw?
This is my first year.
This is your first year at DePauw, and you came right into the band. That's fantastic. Is it tough being a College of Liberal Arts student and maintaining an ensemble seat?
It definitely takes some extra work.
It sure does. It keeps you busy, doesn't it?
It does.
And how are you enjoying the band?
I'm really loving it. I love the band program we have here. It's so much fun.
Yeah, Dr. Perre is really great and very welcoming to College of Liberal Arts students and freshmen alike. So our question this week, it's a great question. Why all the noise on stage before the concert? If you come to a choir concert, it's silent on the stage. The stage is empty, and then they come out and they begin to sing. But if you come to an orchestra or a band concert, and you're here 15 minutes early, you hear all kinds of noise and squawking going on, and then finally someone tuning on stage. Why is that happening on stage? What's that about?
That would be because the temperature difference between on stage and backstage would be different, causing instruments such as mine, the tuba, to go sharp or flat depending on the difference.
Now, there we go. Physics major gives us this answer. That's perfect. Part of that story is that the pitch is going to be different if we're warming up in a room that's at one temperature, and of course the stage with stage lights on. So it's important that we balance out the temperature. Are there other reasons that we do it on stage, that we're allowed to make noise on stage?
It also gives you a sense of the sound that you will get when you play in the auditorium.
Right. It would be totally different if you didn't know what that sound was going to be. It gives you a chance to get used to that sound in the hall in which you're going to play it. And so I think some people might be surprised when they first come in and sit down in a concert and they go, oh my gosh, they're not supposed to be making noise. This is a concert. But you guys are up there making noise all the time. Now, as a tuba player, since it takes a whole lot longer to warm up a tuba than a piccolo, for example, how much time do you spend on the stage before your concert?
I usually try to spend at least 5-10 minutes up there and just playing some notes, getting some air through the horn to keep it all ready to go.
Yep. Well, you guys just had a great performance this past weekend, and you'll be a part of the Holiday Gala, so we'll have plenty of opportunities to see this in action. Thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
From the Producer's Vault, here's an excerpt from Thursday night's performance of the DePauw Percussion Ensemble under the direction of Dr. Amy Lynn Barber. This is a piece by James Campbell entitled Terracotta Warriors. That was our own Dr. Amy Lynn Barber leading the DePauw Percussion Ensemble in a performance of James Campbell's Terracotta Warriors this past Thursday night, November 15th, 2012, in Kresge Auditorium.
We're coming into December, and many folks are looking forward to the holiday break. Some folks are anxiously looking even further ahead than that. Here to chat with me about what it's like to be a graduating senior who is sweating grad school auditions are Claire Wilkinson. Welcome.
Hello.
And Elisa Sunshine.
Hello.
So, well, you guys look remarkably happy and peaceful. This is a great facade you've put on.
I was gonna say, it's a facade for sure.
We've been sleeping a lot because we're actors. Had the graduate school recording, so that just finished. So now it's time to, you know, deprive ourselves of sleep again. Uh-huh. And fill out the applications. We both just finished recording. Exciting times.
That helps us to rededicate ourselves to our motto, sleep when you're dead.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so you guys just finished your grad school recordings.
Yes.
Now, this is something interesting that you can do here at DePauw that you can't do at a lot of schools, which is walk into a professional recording studio and do a grad school audition. How's that work?
Well, it takes a lot of coordinating beforehand to reserve the room and reserve the wonderful Matt Champagne and his technology and make sure our accompanist is available. And sometimes the applied teacher likes to participate in the festivities as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. No pressure.
Or sometimes, and then sometimes we also have to get our video man extraordinaire, Doug Felge.
Right.
For the schools that require video.
Right. We can do audio and video. Very high quality stuff. And you get to do it in one of our better halls, in fact, the Thompson Recital Hall, which has just been renovated and sounds better than ever, especially
it's
for
fantastic.
Singers.
Beautiful
fantastic.
Acoustics.
Yeah. Last year, we had a nice gift that made it possible for us to renovate the hall. And not only did we make it look more beautiful, it sounds better.
It sounds incredible.
The reverse.
It's amazing.
Singers, yeah. Yeah. So you work with your accompanist, you get the room and the recording rolls. And how many pieces do you typically put together for something like this?
It depends completely on the school.
I think I ended up having to record 10 or 12 because everyone has different requirements.
Right.
And then some schools might like modern music more or musical theater, so you want to show them that you can do that facet of music as well, whereas some schools are like, definitely don't send that, but you kind of have to spread things out.
They like different styles, different periods, different genres. It's
so you get it all together on one big disc, and then you cut it up depending on what school you're applying to.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
After you've fixed it with Matt.
I was going to say, then there's the post-production headache. So you've recorded it, and then you go back and you listen to it and you go, oh, but I could have done that tiny little thing better.
And then you have to decide if it's really worth doing it again.
Yes, right. You then have to put yourself back through that all again, which becomes a real challenge.
Yes. Right.
At some point, you know, you just have to let it go. You have to go, I did it. It's fine. It's fine. Because you can drive yourself insane.
And you do.
And you do.
Oh, yes.
Some of us started a little closer to that marker than others, I think.
Pardon me, boy.
So how many graduate schools are you applying to, Claire?
I'm applying to 7.
I'm actually applying to 7 as well.
Our lucky number. We're roommates.
There you go.
So there you go.
Are any of these the same schools?
No.
No.
Just one, Juilliard.
Juilliard's our school in common.
Oh, and University of Tennessee.
Yes.
Because they have a great program.
End up there
so that's
together.
Two.
Yeah, two in
so
common.
Two. And where else?
Well, Eastman and New England Conservatory and Northwestern, San Francisco Conservatory, CCM. I think I'm probably forgetting something.
And what can you add?
I just this past weekend did Oklahoma City University. And then I'm going to do Florida State University.
Because you're from Florida, right?
Yes, I'm from Florida. And then, of course, University of Tennessee, Juilliard. And then I'm doing
Rice and Yale.
Rice, Yale, and New York University.
Ah. Well, you're geographically diverse. You're all over the map.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yes.
I hope.
And so
fingers
then
crossed.
You get it all together. You apply to all those schools. You send your stuff off. And then you
twiddle your thumbs and wait.
And
I'm
obsess.
Already there right now because I just had an audition last weekend. So I'm already like checking my email every day thinking they
surely
they're
like throwing themselves at
do
me.
Do they like
already.
Me? Yes, no? Right. Yes.
Well, what's the most stressful is the pre-screen recordings that we have just recorded. It's really our only shot to show some of these universities what we have because that's the prerequisite for even getting a live audition.
Right.
Right. So it's very stressful.
But at the same time, those are kind of nice because for those really prestigious schools, sometimes they're looking for a specific number of a specific voice mm-hmm. type. And sometimes they don't even need to fill that requirement. But of course, no one posts that because if there was some amazing talent, they would maybe just take the extra person on. Right. So the pre-screen, although tedious, can save time and money because we don't have to travel somewhere that doesn't want us.
Yeah, believe it or not, when I applied to graduate school, this was before the internet. And you would send off this thing called a letter. And there were these little square things called stamps you stuck on it. I'm not kidding.
It's one of my schools does that.
Still? Really?
Tennessee. Or transcripts. Tennessee. They're old fashioned.
There you are. All right. Well, that's good. So when do you expect to know?
April. It depends. Some will tell you within 4 weeks. Some won't tell you until they're done auditioning everyone.
And then you have that bird in the hand, bird in the bush problem, too. Oh, well, these two said yes, but I haven't heard from that one yet.
Right.
Right.
None of the ones I'm applying to have like a pending deadline that you have to decide, like an early decision. So you can wait and just tell them, sorry, wait to hear back. Because then you've also, you know, you got to look at what you can financially do. That's a huge part of it. Mm-hmm. Getting in is only the first hurdle. So it's a whirlwind.
It's going to be weird leaving our DePauw bubble, and our DePauw family.
Yes, that's right.
And it's so different from undergraduate.
You'll be unceremoniously booted out the front door.
And we're independent now.
It's gonna be scary.
Gotta get a job. Right. Hopefully a singing gig.
Oh, life is so rough.
Waitress.
You know. Waitress. singing waitress.
The singing waitress. There you go.
I want the rich people wine.
I personally want to run my own karaoke bar. I think that I would be really good at that.
The problem there is the karaoke principle. Karaoke principle is that your ability to sing karaoke is inversely proportionate to your desire to sing karaoke. But
you'll teach me the ropes.
Yeah, there you go.
It's going to be great.
Well, good luck, and thanks for coming in to chat about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From the producer's vault, here's DePauw's trombone professor James Beckel directing the trombone choir in a performance last Monday of Paul Weir's Toccata for Trombone Quartet. Thank you. That was DePauw's Trombone Choir, under the direction of Professor James Beckel, performing the Paul Weir composition Toccata for Trombone Quartet in Thompson Recital Hall last Monday, November 12th, 2012.
We're continuing in our effort to send our seniors off to a desert island, and joining me to be shipped off is Mara Wallace. Welcome.
Hi.
Mara is a fourth-year senior, a piano performance major, and Mei Pong is your applied professor. Next semester's it mm-hmm. for you, right?
Yep.
Senior recital right around the corner.
Yeah.
So we're sending you off on a desert island with a malfunctioning iPod, the only 5 minutes of music that you'll get to hear until we rescue you or send you a new iPod. So what is it?
Well, I would gravitate towards a pop song, but I know that I get sick of pop songs very quickly.
That's
so
true.
Being trapped on an island, I would pick something I'd rather, you know, want to listen to more often. And so I'd go with the piano piece, but I need something that would, you know, finish in 5 minutes and not never hear the end of it again.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Yeah, so I decided on Jadot by Ravel.
Ah,
yeah,
Ravel. Really? So as a pianist, Ravel, why?
Well, I'm a big fan of French music, mm-hmm. specifically the Impressionistic era, and so, I mean, Ravel's a little bit later than that, but I don't know, I just like the effects he uses.
Yeah, really beautiful, and that would be a very appropriate music to, if you're stranded all alone and your life is full of angst, to have a little Ravel to calm you down. Is there a performance or a performer you would prefer?
Martha Argerich, definitely.
There we go. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Anna Gatdula. I'm sitting down with all the student producers of Music for Life in our new segment called The Student Corner.
I'm Adam Lumen.
I'm Bea Dagaford.
I'm Matt Skiba.
And I'm Federico Papi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up?
Good to be here.
So, this is the end of the semester. What are you guys stressing out about?
I think what I've heard most people talking about is juries. And as a freshman who's never gone through juries, I'm wondering, like, what all the fuss is about. How do you handle the stress? Things like that.
How are you handling the stress?
I'm pretty good with auditions and everything, so stress isn't too much of an issue for me. What I do is I just focus on it when I'm practicing. And when I'm not practicing, I try not to think about it. And then once you get into the audition, I guess I'll do the same with juries, is just you practice as much as you could, so just do your best, and there's nothing you can do about it then.
Excellent. I mean, that's all you can do. If you've been practicing all semester and preparing, you should be set.
What I've found, like, through the years, is the most effective way of getting rid of stress is just to practice. You know, the more prepared you are, the calmer you are. My freshman year, I was freaking out about juries, but as you go through, you know, it really becomes more just a chance to get a lot more feedback from the professors you don't normally have. And that's what I usually look at it as. And that makes it a lot less stressful if you're looking at it as a chance for new feedback as opposed to what decides my grade for my applied lessons.
I think for me, what I'm most stressed out about are finals. And especially as a music student, you know, we have a lot of classes that we're taking and they all have finals. And just because, you know, you're in a 0.5 credit music theory class doesn't mean you're going to get an easy final, because it's just as hard as a final as a full credit course. So, you know, we have music theory, you have musicianship, we have music history, Betty and I have music history final, add on your CLA finals, and it really does add up, that finals week.
Everyone has to worry about finals, but also in the School of Music, since we're all in ensembles, everything has their end of semester performance. So there's going to be vocal chamber music coming up, string chamber music.
Opera Scenes has their final concert.
Choirs have their concerts. And then now, for the second year, we have the Holiday Gala, which is literally everybody in the School of Music coming in for one concert.
On top of the finals and juries, there's also some people who have to face juniors and senior recitals. Talking about Susie Miller and Alicia Petrone, Meg Benedict, that's hard stuff to put up with finals and a junior recital or a senior recital.
On top of that, there's even the ensembles that still have yet to go. There's just like Katya's piano studio is actually giving their own performance. There's still premiere performances now. Dr. Perkins's composition class is coming up, and they're actually giving their entire performance in just a few weeks.
I think that's kind of helpful, though. You know, in the real world, you have to maybe work another job on the side before we work professionally full time. You know, having our finals and juries and stuff at the same time as preparing for performances really gets you ready to doing that work.
Excellent. Well, this has been all the student producers in the first installment of the Student Corner. Good luck, everyone, and the end of the semester.
On the first weekend of December, we have our second annual holiday gala. This is probably the most attended event in the School of Music. And this year we have two performances of the gala, one on Saturday night at 7, and then another for families on Sunday at 3. This is a musical extravaganza and an organizational challenge. And here to chat with me about the gala is actually our event manager, Janice Bagwell. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
We have quite the stage full of musicians for this event,
don't
we?
We certainly do. We have all the major ensembles and others.
It takes a while to figure all this out.
It certainly
does. It's kind of like
does.
Spinning a Rubik's Cube.
It does.
Yeah. So give us some of the groups that are performing on this.
The orchestra will be playing, the band, a jazz combo, both choirs, Mei Fong and Claude Zimmerman will be doing four-hand piano selections from the Nutcracker. A woodwind student quintet will be playing, and the percussion ensemble.
No shortage of things. Plus, then we have a brass quintet playing before out in the hall, in the great hall.
And we also have Pam Coburn singing with Carla Edwards.
Right, on organ. So people get to hear the J. Stanford Smith organ that night as well.
Right.
And the Sunday afternoon concert also has all of that. It's just it's shorter.
A shortened version. Plus some surprises.
Yes. We've been writing anxiously to Santa and asking him if he would take a break, even though it is the first weekend in December and his time is short. Maybe he could just swing by for a minute. So we always are holding out hope that that might happen as well.
And there will be opportunities for the audience to sing along on both occasions.
Right. And this is music of a wide variety, both music of many traditions, but also music of many styles. So we have a jazz combo doing a jazz turn on some traditional Christmas music. We have the orchestra doing its orchestral flair and the band doing its thing. And so it's like a little kaleidoscope concert.
Right. And the songs that will be offered at the end for a sing-along are all familiar songs to everyone. On Sunday, there will be some that will be more kid-centered so that the children can sing with us.
Yep.
And there will be surprises both Saturday night and Sunday that I think everyone will enjoy.
Right. This has become really popular, especially with the community. I mean, the CLA students are already talking about it, and the community. I was surprised to find out that we had sold 500 tickets already, and we haven't advertised yet.
And I hear about it all the time when I'm out in the community, people asking about it, because they remember it so fondly from last year.
You know, I was just at an event last week, and someone came up to me and said, I don't want to talk shop at this event, but I need to know, when is the Holiday Gala?
Right.
And so people are really lining up behind it.
They are. Businesses are lining up behind it, too, to be involved.
Mm-hmm. And we'll the community, restaurants, and the square.
And as well, we'll be singing downtown and sending students down to sing and to play and being a part of the tree lighting festival downtown.
Right. So it's a whole part of a big week in a way, you know, because we're with lots of different folks are coming
together.
Partnering
with the community in a big way this year.
So it's like come home to Greencastle and celebrate the holidays.
Right.
Yeah. All of this is a wonderful event and a logistical nightmare.
It is a logistical nightmare.
And it all falls on your shoulders.
It's even a bigger logistical nightmare this year because we're doing two of them.
Right. There will not be an empty seat in the house or on the stage for this event.
That's true.
I know we're out there with little rulers and measuring, and we're timing the speed of the
curtain. We have lots of tape on the floor already.
Yeah, right. Lots of tape down. So this is an incredibly exciting event. It's coming up the first weekend in December. And this year, there will be two performances. One will be on Saturday night, December 1st. It will start at a special time. Our concerts typically start at 7:30, but this one starts at 7. And there will be a reception afterwards. And then on Sunday afternoon, we are doing a family concert that will tilt a little more toward children. As I said, we're anxiously awaiting a response to see if Santa can free up some time in his schedule to show up, at least for a moment. And it'll be a slightly shorter performance on Sunday afternoon. There will be a reception in the Great Hall after the Saturday night performance. So lots of great events happening. You can find out about this on our website. It'll be in the local papers as well. And it will be a very exciting event. And Janice will be there with her running shoes on. Thanks for coming in to talk about
You're welcome.
Here's a performance from last year's Holiday Gala. This is the University Band, directed by Dr. Craig Paré, playing Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. Thank you. That was from last year's Holiday Gala. The DePauw University Band, under the direction of Dr. Craig Paré, performing Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride from December 10th, 2011 in Kresge Auditorium. From the Producer's Vault, let's conclude this episode with an excerpt of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra's performance of Rimsky-Korsakov's Capriccio Espagnol from last Sunday's performance in Kresge Theater.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of Music for Life. We love hearing from listeners. You can contact us by emailing musicforlife@depauw.edu. Our student producers are Bia Dagaford, Anna Gatdula, Adam Luman, Frederico Poppy, and Matthew Skiba. Our online editor is Veronica Pedrell, and our show is produced and recorded by Matthew Champagne in the Judson and Joyce Green Center for the Performing Arts at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana. I'm Mark McCoy, Dean of the School of Music. Thanks for listening to our show. Keep music in your life, and have a great week.
It's Music for Life.